Rising.
Okay.
Or it's a picture, excuse me, it's a picture of a sun on the rising, and it means condense, circle, and time. Condense, circle, and time. But remember this sun on the horizon, this picture of what it's about. Psalms 119:145. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, and I will keep thy statutes.
Okay, you said 119 and what?
145.
145.
He said, I cried with my whole heart. You know, I love see a young man or young woman get saved, go to the altar, normally they'll come back just crying their eyes out because they give their heart, you know, whole heart, not half heart, but whole heart there. It says, I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies. How many of y'all remember doing that? I mean, I'll never forget the day I, Lord say amen. Anyway, I prevented the dawning of the morning, and I cried, and I hoped in thy word. My eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate on thy word. Anyway, he's looking forward to them. He's looking forward to spending time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Hear my voice according to thy loving kindness, O Lord. Quicken me according to thy judgments.
Whoa.
They draw near that fall after mischief, and they are far from thy law. Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. But I want to go back to sun on the horizon, and let's flip over to Psalms 19. You know, we was in 119, well, now we want to go to 19. Psalms 19, sun on the horizon. Starting verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. And there is no speech nor language wherein their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. How many of y'all remember reading the newspaper here? It's about 6 weeks ago. That scientists took a picture of, took like 8 cameras, and they proved the black hole theory. Y'all remember reading about that?
Yeah.
And they said this hole is 25 billion miles wide, and it's encircled with like that of a fire. And they say once you go in, you don't ever come out. They say even light itself cannot come out. I mean, once it's in there, it's in there. It's gone forever. But I got thinking about this. You know, the writer here writes of the tabernacle for the sun. He's kind of talking about the heavens, you know, just looking up at the heavens. But I got to thinking about that. And he says, but he has said One translation said he's made a tent for the sun. You know, in a tent, I think about something that you go into and rest and sleep or whatever. But he's made a tent for the sun. You know, Brother Thurston, you and I kind of talked about this. There in Revelation, you know, at the end there, that, you know, the sun, the moon, the earth, everything is done away with. And there's a new heavens and a new earth. But that kind of struck me odd that in 19 this was discovered. And here in 19 we talk about it. And in the 19th word of the word, of the Hebrew word, it's, and I didn't think that kind, you know, you kind of put things together. But let's go on to read here what he likens it like. 19 verse 5. It says, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber. Wow. and rejoices a strong man to run the race. You know, this sign in the heavens, man discovering this black hole, could it be a sign the bridegroom cometh? Think about that. Think about that. And it strengthens those that run the race. You know. That's just me. That's just my way of thinking. But I kind of think, you know, here in the last few years, and they've talked about, you know, blood moons and this and that. But the heavens do declare the glory of God. And they do show and speak to us. And they don't say a word. But they're showing us and telling us the Lord is coming. And it's time. The Lord is coming. Well, I'm on. Yes, ma'am.
In the Passion Translation 119, it says, "Before the day dawns, I'll be crying out for help and wrapping your words into my life." Anybody that cooks knows when you're making a cake, once you wrap all of that stuff or stir it in, you can't tell the eggs from the sugar. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It all becomes one, and you can't parse them out again. And that's where we should be. Once that word gets in us, we shouldn't be able to parse it out. It's us, a part of us. It's all stirred in.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's good.
And we're all one body. So it's all stirred in. That's a good thing. That's all.
But I want to say something there before, and then I'll shut up and sit down. But there in the end of Revelation there, you know, it talks about the earth, the heavens of the earth fleeing from the Lord. But it goes on to say then that we get to see him. It flees from his face. Mm-hmm. But it goes on and ends up and says, and we get to see him face to face.
Amen.
You know, that's what I'm looking forward to. You know, I kind of got problems with people that don't like to talk about end times, and they don't want, you know, they don't want to talk about that future stuff. Man, that's what I'm looking for. That's our hope. He's our hope. And when he says all that, he says, "I am Alpha Omega." That's why I love this, the Psalms. You know, it just he's revealing his plan to us, Lord. And folks, I truly believe that with all my heart.
Yep. So there's something you need to look up, since you're really into it. They have the book of Revelation written in Hebrew. That was written in Hebrew. John wrote it in Hebrew. And you can read it. It will blow your mind. It's basically telling the same thing, but it's giving just a little bit more of a Hebraic look. Because it's something else.
That's
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Well, come on first. Come on.
God did speak the end from
the beginning. Yeah, he said, "I left the top." The Aleph right there, the very first letter he brought said,
it's the
awe is literally the cross of Jesus. The letter is a cross. Not today's modern Hebrew. When the Bible was written, all the way back, it's actually a seal. A seal in Ezekiel chapter 9, whenever he told the angel to go out, put a mark on those who were sighing and crying. In Hebrew, it says the seal of the Tal. And that's the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the cross. It started with bull sacrifice and ended right there.
With the blood.
Blood, man.
I wrote down what Mary said.
And that blood is speaking for us.
The blood speaks for...
Yeah.
How did she put it?
And here's something, man, that I found out that I just got to say it. I've been just holding it back, but I won't have to. The verdict on abortion in Alabama, okay, is because the ecclesia, the governmental body that Jesus put here, okay, we're not just a body that walks around doing it. We're a government. We make decrees. You don't go to the governor, you don't go to senators or the congressmen, or the mayors, or nothing. It's the government of Jesus that makes the decree, and that's what's happened to this abortion bill. It was passed because the government of Alabama, the actual government, which is the body of Christ, stood up. Now, just because of that one thing, we could literally have a massive revival here in Birmingham, just because we understand if you come together in agreement and make a decree, because we're the government, we could have everybody in Alabama get saved.
Amen.
Just about.
Praise God.
That's good. That's good. If we could just come together, unite. On that note, would you pray so I can get started here? I got to release some things here to the body.
Well, the last time you said Jesus' blood speaks from heaven for forgiveness.
That's right.
But the blood of Abel cried for justice.
Right. Yes. Yes.
That was some good state there, girl.
Yes, yes. Release us.
Yes, Lord. Father, I just bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for releasing, Lord, and opening our eyes and our ears, Lord, to hear what the voice of you says in Jesus' name, Lord. As my sister speaks, I pray, Father, Lord, that it will take and ring true in our hearts, Lord, and change us, Lord, because, Lord, we're here for you. We're here to learn, and I bless her in Jesus' name, and I bless and anoint the words that comes out of her mouth.
Amen. You know, Mother's Day Sunday, I thought I would do something with a different twist, and I did. I said, we're going to talk about mothers. We're going to go into the book of Judges, and we're going to talk about women. And I did it, and I thought that's what, you know, we were going to do, and we had a good time in that book. And when I began to ask the Holy Spirit, what's what today? He said, you hadn't finished that. Go back to that. It's something else I want to speak to the people. So I'm coming back in this same vein again today. You know, we spoke from the fourth chapter. I didn't even get started on the fifth chapter. In the fifth chapter, there's so many things that are brought out through this song that Deborah and Barak sing that you don't get. Deborah the honeybee is back there. That we have a Deborah in our midst.
Amen, honeybee.
That you don't get. But I didn't. He said, I want you to go back and look at Barak and just really study him. And when I did, I went, whoa, God. He's been getting a wrong rap here. People have been doing him, had not been doing him justice. They, you know, always look at him as a weak fellow, you know. But when I began to study it out like the Lord advised me to do, I saw a different Barak, because he said, you notice his name is over there in the, let's turn to the left. We're going to start out a little backwards. We're not going to start in the Old Testament. Let's start over here in the New Testament, because I want you to see where his name is written. The 11th chapter of Hebrew, and maybe let's start at the 32nd verse. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak. And when Barak's name got there, I went, Lord, how did his name get in the Hall of Faith? Come on, Jesus. You put his name in the Hall of Faith. This man that didn't want to obey you fully. But let's continue to read this. And God began to show me something here that I hadn't seen before. Let's go down here to the 33rd. And you wonder how Samson got there and Gideon and all the, but let's go down to the 33rd verse. It said, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrote righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the sword. But the part I want you to see where it comes here, he said, out of weakness were made strong. Out of weakness. They had some weak. Barak had weak faith. But out of his weak faith, he got strong faith. He got faith enough to get over it. Didn't know anybody get in this 11th chapter of Hebrew. Paul put people in there that only had some dynamic faith.
Amen.
He got to this. He said, time ain't gonna permit me to tell you about Barak and those. And I'm like, what I've ever heard preached about Barak, he wasn't too much into How did he get into the Hall of Fame? But follow me. I'm going to paint a different portrait of him this morning. And we're going to see. Now, if you were here when I talked that Sunday, a Mother's Day, I can't go back and my time won't, like the 11th chapter said, my time won't permit it. Just track with me from where I am, okay? Okay, let's understand what was going on in this fourth chapter of Judges. And this ring out mostly all the way through the book of Judges. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead. After one great judge would die, and they'd fall right back into sin. Okay, and Deborah prophetess, this is over in, this is 4 and 4. Let's get third, because we got to know. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. They cried out unto the Lord. When, I'm going to have to back up. I'm trying to reteach the ones that wasn't here. And the Lord, when they had done the second verse, fourth chapter and second verse, and said, the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dealt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. Now, God allowed this ungodly king and this militant man, Sisera. It said that he oppressed the people. He oppressed Israel. And as we get into fifth chapter, we're going to find out how some of the things he oppressed him with. I can't go back in the fourth chapter and do that. Time will not permit. And it says here in the fourth chapter, 4 and 4, after they had cried out, and Deborah prophetess, the wife of Lebadah, she judged Israel at that time, and she dwelled under a palm tree of Deborah. You know, she had to do her dwelling under a palm tree because the gates of the city, where they ordinarily did governmental things, this Sisera had torn it down, had messed it up. I mean, he was doing some really evil things to the children of Israel. And I'm just going to talk and just tell you, I'm not going to be able to read it all in the fourth chapter, but he had done this for 20 years. 20 years he had oppressed them badly. And they finally cried out to the Lord after 20 years and asked God for his help. And he did. He raised up Deborah. And Deborah had to do her thing, not at the gate, but she had to do it under a palm tree. And Sisera probably was thinking, this lady under the palm tree is doing really nothing, you know. But I'm telling you, contact with God was being made there under that palm tree. She was going forth in God like no other. Sisera just took it as nothing. Sisera was their enemy. Jabin was the king, but Sisera was the militant man. He was the military man. And just to describe a little bit of him that had everybody so fearful, he had 900 iron chariots. Iron, not just plain little iron chariots. And the people were just so afraid of him. They said, as they described it, even in the fifth chapter, in the fourth chapter, they couldn't even stay in their villages. They had to watch where they walked because Sisera would just oppress and would grab whoever he wanted to grab and just, I mean, he just did whatever he wanted. The devil did whatever he wanted to do to the people of God. I mean, they were having a difficult time. Even the gates was messed up and everything. And they finally cried out to the Lord. People, prayer meetings are important. Crying out to God is important. Let me hurry on down here because I want to get to Barak. I want to paint a different portrait of him because y'all seen that he was in the 11th chapter of Hebrew, the Hall of Fame. Okay, and she sent and called, this is the 6th verse, 4 and 6. And she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab. She sent and she called for him, and she said, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded you, saying, go?" She told him just what God had been telling him. And you know, Barak said he couldn't deny that, but he didn't have the faith. His faith wasn't built up for Sisera. All he could think about was, he was a militant man, but all he could think about was 900 chariots that the enemy had a hold on him. He couldn't, he didn't have the faith to do what God was telling him. So many people were saying that the reason he asked Deborah to go up with him is because, to battle with him, is because he couldn't hear from God. He didn't, but Deborah said, you are hearing from God. God is telling you what to do. Now, God really wanted, he was really calling for the men, but wouldn't no man stand up. But Deborah rose up. She asked God, God, help me to rise up, because I'm not going to live with Sisera one more night. He's not going to do this to the people of God. She rose up. And that's the picture. Amen. That's the picture that the 60th chapter of Isaiah tell us to arise. God is calling for some people to arise. Amen. Get on a different realm of God.
Yes,
where we can deal with the enemy.
That's right. Come on.
You know, we have an elder brother, Jesus. He took care of the enemy. But the enemy is still loose, and we are enforcers. We got to enforce what he's done.
Got to implement the finished works of Christ.
Amen. He has done it. He's completed his work. He said, I've completed, I finished. Now y'all enforce what we are enforcers. He said, I've given you the name, I've given you the equipment. It's just like the sheriff. He enforces so many deputies to go out. He even give them the clothes. They don't wear their own clothes out there.
Amen.
He even give them the uniform. And God has given us a whole armor of God. And he said, put it on and take your weapons and do this. Enforce what I have done. Enforce it. Tell Deborah, no, you're not. You're getting out of here today. And Deborah rose up among all those men when it wasn't popular to be in government, when it wasn't popular to sit under a tree and to lead. But she said, if no man gonna take it, I'm gonna take it. I am going to lead. But I got to repaint the portrait of Barak. Deborah, you had your hand up.
Yes. God tells us to remember the things he's done for us. But in case you haven't had a long enough history with him, he gave us Hebrews.
Amen.
To show in the Old Testament where the praise and worship team would go out and they would confuse the enemy and they'd kill each other off. So he's given example after example to build up your faith if you don't have enough victories in your own life.
Because that's God's testimonies.
Yeah. Yes.
That's our testimonies when we receive them.
That is so right. That is so right. Yeah. Now, here, Barak had weak faith, and he needed, he just didn't have faith for Sisera, the 900 chariot. But Deborah did. She had the faith. I mean, she was, can you imagine this woman just rolling, just encouraging. And over in the 5th chapter, she said, I was like a mother to him. Not just a leader, but I was a mother to him. Okay, so she's telling Barak, what God had told him to go do. And this is in the 8th verse. This is what Barak said unto her. This is his answer. And Barak said unto her, if thou would go with me, then I would go. But if thou won't go with me, girl, I'm not going. Don't that sound like a weak man?
Yes.
He had weak faith. But let me keep painting it for you, okay? And she said, okay, she's going to tell him something here. You listen very closely. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest not be for their honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera in the hands of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak. Now, he knew this. He had a choice to make. He knew that he wasn't going to get no honor. It's no military man wants to go and not get no honor. He said, you ain't going to get no honor. You ain't going to be the one that said you killed Sisera. God is going to put it in a woman's hand. And think about Barak. He said, forget the honor. Forget about it being in a woman's hand. All we want is our freedom from, you know, what a man. Yeah. After God showed me that, I see now I know how his name got in the 11th chapter of Hebrew now. Because the way people used to teach it, I was like, how in the world did he get in the 11th chapter of Hebrew? He was yet willing to go knowing that I'm not going to get any honor. I'm not going to be the one that killed Sisera. A woman going to do it. And when a woman would do that, it makes you look like a weak man. She